Mr. Hart, 304. We got to when you got to South Shields, being towed aboard the marksman, round about March, I'd have thought, 1943.
No, yeah, could be. I can't remember the dates.
You said you were 21 when we were in Gibraltar, so round about then. What happened when you got there? Well, you were decommissioned. Well, can you tell us how it happened?
Oh, they just called us all, thanked us for what we had done for his ship. We had been happy crew and everything, and we'd done quite a bit of damage with our mines during the course of the war where we lay, and they must have known what had been happening. And from then on, we was paid on to come back down to Chatham. Made our way to Chatham by the railway, and
what do you remember of your time at Chatham?
I didn't. Well, I had a happy time in Chatham, really. I got in Chatham and reported to the RTO, and of course you get jobs each day down in Chatham. Well, I was lucky at the time. The vicar wanted a messenger, because that let me all offer details.
And this is the vicar in the barracks?
In the barracks, so you had all different,
denominations,
we had old denominations. I had a CV one, so I was alright. I used to listen to all the tales of the women coming down. Their husbands had left them and all the rest of it, Navy men.
So not many duties?
No. Only one duty I got caught for. I don't know. My face must have felt like to go to Banstead on a war bonds week. They wanted all the badges, because having a badge on gunnery raised on my arm, I was picked to go down there just for the day, Other than that, I was just in the barracks and going home on evening every night.
Now, what about the bombing? What effects could you see when you went out and about and visiting home?
Oh, the bombing was terrible. I can tell a lot of stories about the bombing, but
tell us some of them.
I'm trying to think for a minute for me.
Had there been much damage near your home or places you were?
No, near. There's a terrible thing happened when where I lived. There was a school in Catford. I came home one day and my father said we've had a terrible he said, come outside, and I went outside and said machine gun bullets right across the roof, going right away across to this school. Well, it turned out this plane had gone across, took it for an ammunition factory, and dropped a bomb on it with all the children in it. And 30 odd children were killed in there, in that school. Which, I wasn't very happy to hear that sort of thing.
What about there's a time on the incendiary bombs on Old Kent Road. What about that?
Oh, yeah, when I was on leave, because my brother, we came from the Old Kent Road, Peckham Park Road, and I used to stay at his place, at Bermondsey, and I used to go down to the shelter with them, just sometimes I'd stop up on the top flat, so I'm not being big headed, but I used to go down with them, take the kiddies down, and I've seen the Old Kent Road one. Right the way down from Bermondsey, looking right the way down to the old, canal bridge. Everything was a lie. Furniture shops. I ran in with buckets of sand and threw them on the incendiaries and that. That's terrible. It's a terrible bombing. I had to go round to see one. My sister-in-law was worried about her friend. Would I go round and, down the East Lane, I think it was called, and see if she was all right. And there was shrapnel flying all around me. Shrapnel was flying. I was lucky. I got down.
Shrapnel from the bombs or from the anti-aircraft guns?
Both, I think. Yeah. I had a charmed life going down there.
Now, what about your next posting?
Like the Bullard. Ah. Yeah, I'd had 14 days leave off the Manxman. Went back, done the same routine as I did before, going down to the drill hall to see if the name was up on it. And I find out that I was on the HMS Bullen draft. Not knowing what it was, I went into the RTO office and he told me it was an American to pick up a ship in America. Because we got our orders and that, jits, and quite a few, you know, the crew, we all met up at the station, and from then on we all ended up north on the west coast for the Queen Mary. And we sort of, well, we didn't know each other like. I mean, there's only one chap I knew was my best man. he got a draft with me. Anyway, we met up on the magnificent boat, the Queen Mary.
What was it like? I mean, it's not a normal.
Well, it wasn't like they got today like luxury. They ripped it all out like the swimming pool had been covered over with planks. I made it a mess state. We used to kind of have meals and all that in there, and nothing else. Well, I thought we was going to have a nice 7 days cruise, but it turned out, as though the Yanks had taken it over, you know, during the war, they were on the guns. Because next day we're called in to Piccadilly Circus, right top of the high stairway there. And we got detailed off for guns. I couldn't believe it. I was detailed to take over a Bofa gun on the quarter deck. And that relieved the Yanks. They all went down below. We had to do gunnery.
You hadn't done the Bofas before, had you?
No, I've never done a Bofa. I still got used to them out in America, though.
What did you think of them?
Not a lot. No, I'd rather have the pom-poms than the Bofas.
You'd prefer the Oerlikon?
Yeah.
What was wrong?
What
was better about the Oerlikon than the Bofas?
Well, with a pom-pom, you've got to spread a shell. You've got to spread a shell with a... With the one you got a two, you got two like boom, 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 boom. You've got to be dead sort of accurate with them. With a 4-inch pom, you know, 4-gun pom pom, you got a pattern, and it come into that pattern. It was a good gun. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the Yanks loved them, man.
You had a test firing with rocket parachutes. So tell us about that.
Oh, on the beach, yeah.
Well, I think it was on the ship.
Oh, that was another one, but while we was out there in America, I don't think I put that one in.
You've got a thing about rocket parachutes on the Queen Mary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they could put a parachute up for us to fire. And our shells were pretty good on it, you know. Not being on the gun before. We've shown how to, you know, to operate it. Well, naturally, it comes to you quite. Any other guns would come to you. Yeah. I said, when was in the barracks at Fargo?
Hang on, we haven't got there yet. What about when you got to New York? What were your impressions of that?
Oh, big. I mean, talk about New York today with all them towers that's been shot down, yeah. But we used to go up Broadway, and of course, your necks were up in the air all the time. Unnatural sort of thing. Watch the flats all around. It's a marvellous place. You know, we didn't stop there long. I need to catch the train.
Now you're going to Boston, were you?
Yeah, we're going to Massachusetts. Yeah.
And what do you remember of Boston? What happened there?
Nice place. Very nice place.
Where were you staying?
At the Fargo.
The Fargo Barracks.
Yeah.
And what was that like?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. Food was wonderful.
Why? What was suspicious about it?
Well, you got no rations there. The only thing is I went round twice for every meal because it's so lightly cooked. That's why I think Americans are big boned. That's why I think Americans are big boned because they're bread. You've got a slice of meat and you go, oh, lose it sort of thing. It's so light. I was going to get back on the ship and have some soup.
What about the... Did they have things you weren't used to? I mean, they supposed to have ice cream and all sorts
of
things.
Oh, everything, yeah. That's what I said. We didn't go without. Beautiful. And you can go around as many times as you like.
There's no shortage at all?
Oh, no. No, not in America, no.
Did you get fed up of... I mean, they did eat different things to us.
Yeah, but you stuck to what you knew yourself, like eggs and bacon and things like that, and cereals and things.
And what about the hospitality of the American people?
Very
because
good.
I believe that they were made a special effort. Can you tell us a bit about that?
No, no wonder. We used to go down to a place called the Buddies Club, and you can put your name in the book, and they used to have these coming out parties for, you know, girls or that at school. And they might come down and say, oh, we want two Navy men, two Army men, or one Navy man, or two Yanks, and send the cars down for you and take you to the home, you know, to their homes, and we could have a good time. Drinks and eat. And it's lovely to walk around Massachusetts. You know, Boston itself is a wonderful place, I think. Beautiful houses and things, you know, to look around. And
how did you get on with the American sailors?
Not very well.
Why not?
They didn't like us. We didn't like them.
Was there any actual fights?
Oh, yeah, on the bridge. I remember a couple of them fights.
Tell us what would happen.
Well, we'd go ashore. If we was in, like, the Silver Dollar in Boston, we'd have a few drinks of that, but they got rough... rough crowd, the same as we got rough crowd, but they used to wait on one side of the bridge and pick on you as you come back. Call us, you know, all names and yobs and everything. And because you start into a fight. But we got used to that. We got all together eventually. People that was in the Green Man and the Silver Dollar and that. We got together, so when we went over the bridge, we were double-handed. And they thought twice of it.
How severe was the fighting? Just punching, or was it kicking?
Might have got a broken nose or something, some of them, you know, but no, it was, you know, fighting and kicking, yeah.
But no weapons?
No weapons. No, never heard of
it. Was there any trouble after one of these fights? I mean, no. Would the... The MPs or the naval police.
Oh, if they were about, they would, you know, pick you up. But there was no identity there. They were mostly in the town or that, you know. No, I never come in contact with them. I'm in Gibraltar.
Now, when were you introduced to your ship? Because they were building them, weren't they? They were building loads of them down at the docks. What did you think when you first saw the ship?
Oh, she looked a trim ship to me. More than I expect, because when you read about the destroyers that were sent over at the beginning of the war, Lend-Lease, they were then four funnels there. And I thought, well, they were proper antique things, you know, that's what I was looking at. I think she's a very trim ship.
There were some unusual things about her for a British sailor. I mean, the through deck... way she was built.
Seat and arrangements, yeah. I mean, we got no arrangements. It was bed, you know, bedding, beds. You just laid your hammock on the bed.
How did you feel about that? I mean, you'd liked your hammock.
Oh, yeah, I liked the hammock best.
You'd preferred that?
Oh, yeah. They were dangerous in a way. Because you get some of them heavy seas, you know. I mean, the challenge, I was in the middle bunk out of three, and the young chap ups. Above me, we had a proper rough time coming across the Atlantic, and out he came, straight down, and the hatch was open. On the deck, the hatch was open, going down to the meat locker, and he came from there right the way down, hit the stairs and bounced down, he was cut to bits. Terrible.
And that wouldn't have happened with a hammock?
No, of course it wouldn't. No, you just swing.
What about the other American things? Like they actually had a laundrette, and I don't know whether many of you used it.
Not on our ships, no laundrettes. On the big ships, yeah, you had everything. I went on one of their battleships one day. I thought I was in a hotel.
What about the? I mean, they had water coolers. That
water coolers, ice drinks.
But did they have that on the bullen? I mean, they did have. They hadn't got that sort of thing.
Didn't even have it on the Sussex, and that was big enough. No, not on our ships. We didn't. We had a laundry. I must admit, I'll say that after the Sussex. Had a laundry on the Sussex. Yeah.
Now, what about other things of the ship? I mean, the through deck, and also it was all welded, not riveted.
All welded. Yeah.
How did you feel? I mean, you were an old sailor by then.
Didn't like the welding.
Why didn't you like it?
Well, when you got rougher sea, the first time I went up on deck, you see the centre of the deck sliding into each other like that, in and out. And you're expecting it to tear apart any time, you know. But that was allowed for, I suppose, you know. But it wasn't a nice feeling to see that deck overlapping each other, you know. No, the ship was...
You were a three badgeman, 3 year.
No, one badgeman.
It's got three here, but.
No, you've got to do 3 years for one badge.
Sorry. Of course you have, sorry. So you've got one badge, yeah. Were you an able seaman by then?
Able seaman.
Able seaman. Oh, yeah. And, but you were gunner's yeoman?
Yeah.
What did that mean?
Well, it was a good corner, wasn't it? Good number.
What did it mean then? What was the job?
I had to do all the ammunition and, ammunition magazines.
Tell me about that, because no one's told us about the magazines. Where were the magazines and how were they laid out? What did you have to do?
Well, you had magazines on the forecastle. They were the hedgehogs and 4-inch. Aft, you had the 4-inch. And we had a place on the upper deck for the oilicans to be filled up, you know, the pans of oilicans. But I had to go down there every day. I had to go down to take temperatures. Not very nice when you're down there.
Why not? Back.
As you've got 20-foot wave going on outside, and you're boom as it comes down, and you're down below with all that lifting in front of you. I used to take that temperature quick and get out quick.
What was it like in the magazine? Was it full of shells?
Full of shells, yeah. Full of bombs and the hedgehogs. I don't see the caps used to come off with a vibration, and then I had to put them back on, and I got a propeller on me. It's a propeller that starts it when it goes into the water, and you're frightened to touch it when you've got a ship going up and down like that. And I try to put the cap back on. And there's quite a few cases.
This is a protective cap.
Yeah, a protective cap. They take them off.
And they just fell off.
They all fell off. Because the vibration of the ship. You know, I had to take the temperature every day.
And what you were looking for it not being too hot or not being too cold? What were you looking for?
Well, it had to be kept at a certain, all the magazine kept at a certain temperature. You couldn't be too hot or too.
And what else did you have to do? I mean, would you keep account of what was in there?
We're the gunner's mate, yeah. We're the gunner. I used to have an office on the bullen. I had a little office.
Where was that?
Oh, it's on the port side. On the port side of the ship, halfway.
On the main deck?
Oh, on the main deck, yeah. We had an office. I was answerable to the lieutenant. Lieutenant Gunnery and the gunner's mate myself, who was in charge of the gunnery.
So when you were getting low for a, say, 4-inch shell, or more likely oilican or whatever, or spigots, who ordered the new ones?
Well, the officer would order them.
You'd tell him?
I'd tell him that we're down on star shells or whatever, and he would pass it through. And when we were... Came in anywhere, any harbour, we'd replenish them.
Anything else to do with the magazines?
No, not a lot.
Now, what about the guns?
Right down the bottom.
On the thing?
And the screens.
What did you think of them?
Pea shooters. They're small, weren't they? Very small.
Were they any good for anything?
Well, I suppose I'll say it was pea shooters. I don't think they were really for anything. Because there was a ship, one ship fired about 40 shells at something and it just bounced off. The fringe shells, I forget what it is, in one of the books.
Did you realise that at the time? That
no, I didn't know.
So you thought if you fired it and hit something, you'd do some damage?
Yeah.
So it's later you found.
Yeah, I don't. I might have done the damage if you could hit a plane with it, maybe, yeah.
But was it any good at? Did it have enough high angle to get
it
there?
Oh, yeah, angle, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, so they could do that probably?
They could do it, oh, yeah.
What were they like as guns to load, fire, you know?
Well, I didn't have a lot to do with the under 3-inch. I was on Oerlikon all the time.
Now, you still were on, although you were Gunners Yeoman, you'd still be on the Oerlikon. That was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, which Oerlikon were you on? Because they had a few, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. We had 2, 2, 4, 6, 8. We had 8 Oerlikons.
And which one were you on?
I was on number 2 starboard side.
And where was that? Was that attached to the bridge or behind the bridge?
Forward of the bridge, just under the bridge.
Pointed,
In fact, they had to put safety rails on my gun because I was shooting the bridge up. Then we had a shoot one day, they put a parachute up because couldn't have a sleeve sent out, so the skipper fired the parachute up because it come down so quick down the wind. Well, naturally, I like firing at them. I took off firing, and it come in quick because I'm going up, right up as far as I could, and the shells are going right past the skipper and that, all up on the bridge. And next time we put into Belfast, they put a guardrail up so I couldn't go too far.
And anything about that? You had quite a few Oerlikons. Did you train? Was it part of your job to train? I mean, you were
No, most
they
of
knew
been,
the business.
Most of them have been, faster.
Now, what did you think of the spigot? The mortar. What's it called? You mentioned it earlier. Hedgehogs. Sorry. Yeah. What did you think of the hedgehog? Was that part of your,
Oh, yeah. I think they were a good thing.
What were they like? How did they work?
Well, they
start... they were different from depth charges.
Oh, yeah. They start off with a square pattern on the ship. The rods are all up there. You've got 24 rods sticking up in a square pattern. And they're angled in such a way that when they're fired, the skipper generally waits to about 200 yards. So a submarine is creeping up on a submarine. And when he fires, they go up and go into a circle. They don't stop in a square pattern. They go into a circle. So if the submarine was anywhere in that circle, it would hit. See what I mean?
And they exploded when they hit it, not rather...
Oh, it's got to hit, yeah, because...
The depth charges are different, aren't they?
Tell me
about the depth charges. That wouldn't be so much your thing, would it?
Oh, yeah, I was depth charge on cruising. You set the depth charge whatever depth you want. That you're told from the bridge. A special pattern like, I was on a 50 foot. That's the ones you see straight away, when you put it on 50 depth. The back, normally the back two that rolls out, there's four goes up and two out the back. And generally that one is a 200.
Well, the one that falls off the back is 200.
Yeah,
200. That's to give you time to get away.
No, the 51 goes off first.
Yeah.
50 foot one of them, but you feel the oil of the ship, you feel the vibration, yeah, as they go off. We've done a few patterns on the bullet.
So you'd sometimes be on the torpedoes, but normally...
Only a cruising, what they call cruising station.
So not at a...
Standby action station, that is, See, I'll be standing by in case anything can happen. If they wanted to... You come up on something quick, we're there. But when they say action stations, the chap that is on detail for that will come up and relieve me so I can go up onto my gun.
Now, the first thing that would be the sort of working up trials. There were a few, I suppose, off.
Oh yeah.
I think they did some off. Where off Maine, off the coast of Maine,
yeah.
And then off to Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about the trials? How they went? Was there any problems?
No, it's just speed trials and such things, you know. A working up routine.
And any problems that
No problems. I don't think we had at all.
Do you remember who the captain was? Any of the key officers? Do you remember their names?
I've got all their names down in my book. Spencer was my lieutenant.
Well, tell me about him. What was he like? He was the gunnery lieutenant.
Yeah, he was a gentleman.
What do you mean when you say that?
Well, he understood. I mean, we'd had more service for that at the time I had at the time, and he took notice of what we said and all that, you know. But I mean, he was a boss. There's no doubt about it. He was good. He was a gentleman. He never treated you,
He hadn't had as much service as you, though.
I don't think so, no.
Did he know his stuff? I mean, did he know...
Oh, yeah, he knew about the gunnery, yeah. Oh, yeah, they all let them know, really. I mean, putting on a ship like that. I mean, our skipper's had a little chap.
You don't remember his name? Not at the moment.
Oh, it will come to me in a minute.
It's all right, we'll perhaps talk about...
It'll come to me.
What about the gunner's mate? Do you remember him?
Nice chap. My big fella. Yeah. The gentle giant, I called him. He was a gentle giant. I've never met his wife since then, but Steve has.
Steve McGill.
They would all like to see, but I've not been able to get there because of the wife's there. I'd like to see them.
Now, you then went over to Bermuda. Anything about the crossing to Bermuda? Or
no, there was nothing there.
What about to Bermuda? That was where you were doing your sort of... Your real trials were to get ready for action, of gunnery and torpedo and not torpedo, depth charge trials.
Yeah, just,
anything about them?
Just drill all the time, you know, gunnery and that. Just keep you on your toes, that's all. Bermuda, we went ashore there, that's all.
What do you remember of
they
that?
They tried to poison us there, didn't they?
What happened there?
They sent a load of beer on board, it was terrible. We were all in agony.
From the beer?
Yeah, that's the second that I had. I had another lot of that before the end of the war.
But it wasn't just drinking too much beer.
No, I didn't give you one bottle, but it was just the beer. No, it wasn't, not a lot went on there.
And then what was the next? You then went to Halifax?
That's it, We only hold at Halifax, we didn't stop. We went on to Newfoundland.
And what then? That would be first convoy, I think.
That is the first convoy, yeah.